Well, turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's last letter. It's his final letter before he is put to death. He's writing to his friend and fellow worker Timothy. It's a short letter. In fact, when you look at it, it's only like four chapters, and yet it's very practical. It's Paul writes to encourage not only Timothy, but also to the body of Christ, to the church. He seeks to encourage and to charge Timothy and to us to carry on the ministry and the message of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, the subject that's in these verses, actually verse 12 is the key there, and then 13 and 14 tie in with a little bit else, but the subject we're going to look at this morning is vital for every believer. The first thing is we're going to talk about our security in Christ. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, God gives to us eternal life, and we are saved and saved forever. We are secure in Christ. Jesus is holding on to us. We're not holding on to him. But there's another term that ties in there that we need to understand, and it's the word assurance. Assurance is our understanding of our security in Jesus Christ. We are secure in Christ, but the question is, do you understand that you are secure in Christ? There are people who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and he gives to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, but they're not assured of this. If you ask them, do you think you're going to heaven, they might say, I hope I am. Are we supposed to know we're secure? How can we know? This morning, as we look at our passage, we're going to see that Paul talks about the fact that he knows who he has believed, and he's convinced that he is able to keep what's been entrusted to him. We're going to see Paul's assurance, his security is in Jesus Christ, and he's convinced of that, and we're going to see it as we go through it, as we talk about that subject this morning. There's some great things there. Let's talk about salvation for a minute. Salvation is a gift. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. The most famous verse in the Bible is, God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his son Jesus to die and rise again, that whosoever, anyone, would believe in him would never perish, never be separated from God, but have eternal life. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have eternal life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, present tense, has eternal life. And will never pass, if we pass from death to life, we'll never come in any kind of judgment. We are saved and saved forever. We are secure in Christ. But there are many believers who don't understand this. They do not understand their security in Christ. They think they can lose their salvation. There are people who say, well, you know, I can trust in Jesus Christ, but if I don't live right, I could lose it. Or if I do some bad sins, I could lose it somehow. Believers need to have the assurance of their salvation. Assurance is understanding that we are secure in Christ. Now, this morning, as we're going to see that issue as we go through our passage, we want to be encouraged from that. Let me just kind of begin with a little review. In the last few weeks, we've been seeing this relationship between Paul and Timothy, and Paul is about to die. He's writing Timothy. This is the last letter. He's exhorting Timothy to come, but he's exhorting Timothy to remain strong and faithful in ministry. The last time Paul charged Timothy, and we saw it, he said, don't be ashamed, but stand for Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our works, but by God's grace. Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life, and you're to stand strong for Christ. And that's the key for us. And then Paul, if you look at verse 11, this is where we ended last week in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, I was appointed for this whole idea of making known the gospel message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 11, for which I was appointed as a preacher, as an apostle, and as a teacher. That's who he is. He says, I'm a preacher to proclaim the message. I'm an apostle with that authority. I'm a teacher to teach people and help people grow. So as we get into verses 12, 13, and 14, let me give you the outline of what we're going to look at this morning. In verse 12, he's talking about his security. He suffers, but he's convinced of the fact that he's secure in Jesus Christ. And then he gives the charge to Timothy, and there's two things, and we can hold to the same charge. Hold to the word, guard the message, and we'll talk more about that as we get to it. Now, let me remind you again, back in verse 11, he says, for which I was appointed a preacher and as an apostle and a teacher. Paul was appointed that. That's his job. He is a preacher to announce the message. By the way, we get to announce the message. We get to herald the message. The word preacher doesn't mean somebody standing behind a pulpit. It means one who announces a message, announces truth. We get to announce the message of Jesus Christ, how he died and rose again. Now, Paul was an apostle. That's authority. We are not apostles. We're ambassadors for Christ. The authority is the word of God, not us. And then Paul is a teacher who instructed and equipped it. We do the same thing. With that in mind, he then says, I was appointed as a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And for this reason, since he's a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, he says, for this reason, I suffer. And is he going to talk about, as we look at the next verse, he's going to talk about two things, suffering and security. And we'll see how it ties together. Let's look at Paul's suffering. Look at verse 12. He says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Paul says, I've been sent out as a preacher. I've been sent out as an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've been sent out to teach. And he says, because of this, I suffer for these things. In fact, he actually says, for this reason, I suffer these things. He didn't tell what the things are. Have you ever looked at Paul's life? Have you ever read 2 Corinthians, where Paul toward the end actually talks about his life? And up to that point, he says, I've been persecuted. He said, I've been beaten with rods. I've been stoned. I've been in the deep. I've been shipwrecked. I've been in trouble from countrymen. I've been in trouble out in the wilderness. I've been in trouble. And he names over and over and over of how he was persecuted and suffered for his stand for Jesus Christ. We live in a great country, and sometimes when we tell people we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, or we are Christians, or we belong to Jesus Christ, they may give us a bad look, or they may say, well, you're stupid, or this. But we don't usually suffer in the way that Paul suffered, or that some people in parts of the world are suffering for their stand for Jesus Christ. Paul suffered as he lived for Christ. Understand, notice, look what he says. For this reason, I also suffer these things. It's present tense. He didn't say, I used to suffer these things. Even as he's about to die, he's in a prison and a hole in Rome. The first time he was in prison, back when he wrote Ephesians and Philippians and all those letters, he was in a rented house with a soldier and people could come to see him. When he writes this letter, he's in prison in Rome. He's in a dungeon. He's cold. There's no light. Whoever brings him food, that's the only food he's going to get. He knows that one day soon they will pull him out of that hole and they will crucify him, or they will kill him, because Paul's a Roman citizen. They couldn't crucify him, and then they cut his head off. And you know, there's a great truth here, because people need to understand, as Paul writes in Philippians 1:29, is we are not only called to believe in Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his sake. There's a teaching today in a lot of Christians, a lot of churches, that says that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be great for you. The truth is this, when you become a Christian and then you stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world and you say, I believe that Christ is the Savior, that the Bible's the God's Word, I'm going to live for that, you're going to suffer. You're going contrary to the culture. You're going contrary to the world. Paul suffers as he preaches and teaches the truths of Jesus Christ. Now, from there, Paul says this. He says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but, watch what he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Now, that's a verse a lot of people have memorized. Let's think about Paul's assurance and his security and what he says in this passage. Notice what he says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him that day. There's two terms I want you to think about, because sometimes we misunderstand this. The first term is the word security. That means we can never be separated. We are secure in Christ. When you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, it is God who is holding on to you. He says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. It's based on his promise, his power, his word. We are secure in Christ. The second word is the word assurance. Assurance is our understanding of our security. That means you understand that you're secure in Christ. There are Christians who trust in Jesus Christ and they are secure, but they don't understand that and they don't know whether they're saved or not. Some believers have assurance and some believers do not. I want every one of you in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior to understand you are secure in Christ and have the assurance of the fact that you are secure in Christ. Let me ask a question, and this is one. Where do you go to gain assurance? There's two places that people always talk about. They say, you look to yourself or you look to Jesus Christ. Where can you look? Some people say you look to yourself. You look at your actions, your faithfulness, yours. You look at your life. And there's a whole teaching today that you can believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you look at your life to see if you have fruit, see if you're living it out. If you're not living it out, you can't be sure you're saved. Well, here's my question to anybody that says, look at your life to see if you're saved. How many works do you got to have? How long do you have to do it? When is enough enough? Do you say, well, I've lived for Jesus Christ for a year. That must prove I'm saved. Or maybe it's 5 years. Or maybe it's 2 months. Maybe it's good works. How many good works? For how long do the good works have to be? You can never look at your lifestyle and determine whether you're saved or not, because you can never know if you're going to keep being faithful. I've had people say, well, you're going to live for Jesus. Well, how long am I going to live for Jesus? Well, the whole rest of your life. Then if you have to live for Jesus the whole rest of your life, you have no way of knowing you're going to live for Jesus the rest of your life. So you cannot have any assurance. Where do you look? You look to Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. What did he promise you? He promised you eternal life. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, he says, I give you eternal life. You shall never perish. What does that mean? It means he gives you eternal life and you can't perish. That means you look back to Jesus to determine your salvation and your assurance. I don't look to my life to see if I'm living it out, who I think I am. I look back to the fact that I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, and he has given to me eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things were written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you look back to the fact that he gave a promise to you, and that is the moment you believe in him, he gives you eternal life. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and saved forever. You can have the assurance of your salvation. So look what he says. He says, for this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have trusted him that day. Now, what I want you to notice what Paul says is pretty neat. He says, for I know whom I have believed, but he didn't say who that is. And then he says, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him. He doesn't tell us what he entrusted. And then he says, on that day, and he doesn't tell us what day. But I want you to understand, he says, I know whom I have believed. He has believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. What is he entrusted to him? He's entrusted his eternal destiny. And what day? That day is when he meets Jesus Christ, either when Jesus comes in the clouds and takes us out, or he dies, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So Paul says, I'm confident. Notice what he says. Let's look at it closely. He says, for this reason, I suffer these things. I'm not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed. Who did he believe? He believed in Jesus Christ. He had put his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He says, I know whom I believed in. I believed in Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to understand something. I haven't believed in my church. I haven't believed in my works. I haven't believed in my friends. My faith is in Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He gives me eternal life. And Paul says, I know whom I believed. I believed in Christ. Some people say, well, I believe in this, or I believe in this, or I believe if everybody just tries to live a good life. Listen, you're believing in yourself there. Paul says, I know whom I believed in. He has put his faith in Jesus Christ. Where is your trust? Is it in your works? Is it in some system? Is it in you, or is it in Jesus Christ? Understand that salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And then look what he says, and I am convinced. That's assurance. The Greek word convinced means to be assured or to have confidence. He says, I know who I believe. That's Jesus Christ. And I am convinced. I have the assurance that what does it say? That he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. The word guard means to keep secure. He says, I have no doubt that God is able to keep me secure. I know I have believed in Jesus Christ, and I have the assurance that he is able to keep me secure. And then he goes on to guard what I have entrusted to him. What is he entrusted to him? He's entrusted his eternal destiny. The word entrusted means to deposit. Paul placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He trusted in Christ, Jesus Christ, to give him eternal life. And he says this, listen, I want you to know something. I know who I believed in is Jesus. And I am assured, convicted, convinced that he's able to keep me secure until that day. And, you know, that's how we live. Listen, I was so fortunate. When I was 19 years old, when I heard about Jesus Christ and I trusted in him, I'd always thought you had to be good to go to heaven, do more good than bad, you could make it. And when I was 19, I wandered into Bible study and I heard the great truth. And the person that led me to Christ said this, JB, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives you what? And I looked in the Bible and I said, he gives me eternal life. He said, how long is eternal life? I said, it seems pretty long to me, you know, eternal, right? Eternal. He said, that's right. And the moment you trust in Christ, you have eternal life. That's a promise from God. I have never doubted my salvation. Because the moment I trusted in Jesus Christ, he cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. So the moment I trusted in Christ, I am convinced. I'm the same as Paul in the sense, Paul says he knows who's believed in. I know I believed in Christ. He's convinced. He's assured. I'm assured that whatever I've entrusted to him, that's my eternal destiny, it is safe. Now let me raise this point. Why is it that John 10:28, I give him eternal life and he'll never perish. That's the greatest truth. And he gives eternal life. Now here's the question. Why is it important that we have the assurance of our salvation? Think about this. What if you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and you're saved forever, but you didn't understand it? And you thought, well, maybe I could lose it. I'm going to go to church the best I can. I'm going to try not to sin very much because I don't want to mess up and maybe lose my salvation. Somebody could say to you, hey, it doesn't matter because you're going to heaven no matter what. So it doesn't really matter whether you really understand it or not. It does matter. Here's why. Because it affects our stability and our service. If you are not assured that you have eternal life, your life is going to be unstable. When you're doing good, you're feeling good. If you're doing great, somebody could say, you think you're going to heaven? You say, I think so. Then you get sin in your life and you mess up. And somebody says, you think you're going to heaven? You go, I don't know. You live an unstable life. You're up and down all the time. The second thing, it affects your service. When you're not sure you're going to heaven, you're serving out of fear rather than love. You're serving to hold on to what you got. You say, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to try to give. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to do all this because I want to make sure I get to go to heaven. You're serving God out of fear. I'm not serving God out of fear. And there's most of you in this room are not serving God out of fear because you know you have eternal life and you're serving God out of love for what he has done for you. And you say, thank you, Lord. I want to go. I want to do this. I want to serve. Not because I'm going to try to hang on to what I got, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. So here's a question for you who know Jesus Christ as Savior, and according to the Word of God, you have eternal life. I hope and pray you're assured of that, but you may not be. Why are you serving? If you serve, you're serving because you're afraid and you want to hold on to what you got, or you're serving because of the great love, your great love for Jesus Christ and his love for you. Notice what he says. I know whom I have believed. That's Jesus. And I'm convinced, that's assurance, that he's able to guard what I guard, that's keep safe and secure, that's security. What I've entrusted to him, that's my life and eternal destiny, until that day. What day? That day is the day we meet Jesus. Either rapture, he comes in the clouds and gets us, or the day that we die, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul says this, I have no doubt that I am convinced that my eternal destiny is safe until the day that Jesus comes to get me one way or the other. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And the moment you trust Christ, he gives you eternal life. And that from that point on, you have the assurance that you know you have eternal life and you're saved and saved forever. Now, I want you to understand something. That doesn't mean you can live any way you want to as a believer. You're to live righteously and godly. That doesn't have anything to do with whether you're going to heaven or not. Going to heaven goes back to God's promise. But I want you to understand that because of your security and your assurance, you should be serving him out of love. That's the key. So until that day. So Paul says this. Listen, I just want you to know. He says, I'm suffering when I stand for Christ, but I'm not ashamed. Because I know who I believe, that's Jesus. And I'm convinced, that's my assurance, that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him. That's my security in Christ as I've given him my eternal destiny until the day that he comes to get me. Wow. I hope that you have the assurance of your salvation in the same way that Paul did and the same way that I do. That when you believe in Jesus, you're saved. And you're saved forever, and you can know it. Now, from there, Paul gives two charges. I'll go quickly through them. One's in verse 13, and one is in verse 14. Here's the two charges. Hold to the word and guard the message. That's what he tells Timothy. He said, hold to the word, guard the message. Look at verse 13. This is the one that says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Verse 13, he says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. In the faith and the love which are in Christ Jesus. He's saying, look, hold to the word of God. The Bible is the basis for everything. Paul had taught Timothy the word of God. It says it in other places where Paul had entrusted him, had taught him. He says, listen, hold on to the sound words which you heard from me. Paul taught him. Which by the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold to the Bible. Let me just tell you something. The Bible is the basis for everything. The Bible is the basis for this whole church. Everything that we do goes back to the Scripture and to the Word of God. What we believe, how we operate, all of that goes back to the Word of God. It is the authority in our lives. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. It's the key. The Bible is the key. Let me tell you what happens. And I read this to my Grow Group class this morning. You know what happens? You know what's happening in our culture? Listen to this. Paul writes later in 2 Timothy. We'll get to this someday. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he writes about what's going to happen. And he says this. For the time will come when they, people, will not endure sound teaching. Okay? But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They will look for somebody that will teach what they want to hear, not what the Scripture says. And then it says, and they will turn away their ears from the truth. That's happening now all the time. I talk to people. I say, did you go to a church last week? Yeah, I went to a church in here and there. I said, what did you notice? He said, they never opened the Bible. When I was at Dallas Seminary, we had a class where you had to go visit different churches. And I remember I visited a church. It was downtown Dallas, big church. And I got out of the car and I had my Bible. It wasn't a big one like this. It was a smaller Bible. And as I was walking in, I noticed all the people. They were all walking in. And I was new to Dallas. I hadn't only been in Dallas for about 2 weeks. I wasn't even sure I was going to find downtown, more or less find that church. And I did find it. And I found some little ladies. And they were walking in. And they said, are you visiting? I said, yes, ma'am. They said, come in with us. And I came in with them. And I sat down. What I noticed, because I had come from a church in Mississippi that we taught the Bible like we do here. We just go verse by verse and teach the Bible. I noticed that nobody had a Bible. In the whole church, I looked around. Nobody had a Bible. There were song books in the pews, but there were no Bibles in the pews. And I thought, nobody's got a Bible. I'm the only person with a Bible. I started to go, I got a Bible. If anybody needs one, I got one. But you know what? Preacher came out and I figured out why they didn't have a Bible. He never talked about the Bible. He never said anything about the Scripture. He never used a verse. And when he got through, the little lady looked at me and says, wasn't that wonderful? And I didn't have the heart to say, that was terrible. You come to church and you get nothing? You don't even use the Word of God? What does Paul say to Timothy? You better hold fast. Hold fast the sound doctrine which you've heard from me. You got to hold fast to the Word of God. That is the key. We're to know it. We're to apply it. We're to teach it. We're to memorize it. We're to defend it. And then he says, what you've heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, the faithfulness and the love is the way we teach the Bible and do that sort of thing. Then, in verse 14, he gives the second charge. And look what he says. Guard the treasure. Now, we'll have to talk about what the treasure is. He says, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Well, the treasure entrusted to him is the message of salvation, the gospel message which Timothy was to proclaim. He says, you better hold fast to guard that message. See, the gospel is, it is so simple, and yet it is so confused by our culture. What is the gospel? Tyler was on campus, and a guy came up to him one day, this is like too long ago, and said, he saw Tyler and he had Stillwater Bible and stuff, and this guy comes up and goes, I challenge you to proclaim the gospel. And Tyler said, tell me what the gospel is. Guy couldn't tell him because he didn't know it. What if somebody came to you and said, tell us what the gospel is? It means good news. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. The gospel is Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He died to pay for sin, and he rose to conquer death. The good news message is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The response to the gospel is to believe in Christ for eternal life. That's what we're entrusted with. That's what we take out these doors into that community. And Tyler then looked at him and said, I challenge you to proclaim a clear gospel. That's what it's all about. Paul says, guard that message through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us, this treasure which has been entrusted to you. Timothy had the message. And by the way, we have the message. We've got the greatest message of all. We're not going out to people and telling them, you got to do good works to be saved. You got to get baptized to be saved. You got to do this. We're telling them that Jesus died and rose again, and if they will believe in him, they will have eternal life. Paul says, this has been entrusted to you. 2 Timothy says to study the word. 2 Timothy 2:2 says to pass it on. So here's the charge. What was the message? The message was the message of salvation. Timothy was given the responsibility to proclaim that message. So the charge. Keep the word. Live by the word. That's a charge for every one of us. Guard the message. Make known clearly the gospel. Paul says, live by the word and guard the message. So here's the question for me and you. Are we living by the word? Are we proclaiming the message? That's what Paul told Timothy to do. As we look at this passage, we see Paul's confidence in Christ that even though he suffers, he knows he is secure and he's convinced he has assurance of his security in Jesus Christ. He then charges Timothy, hold the word and guard the message. So our applications this morning, remember that we are secure in Christ. We are. We are. Let's understand our assurance and let's understand our security in Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that if any of you in this room, that you came in here this morning and you had trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, but there was some kind of things in your mind that thought, well, maybe I'm not saved, or maybe I could lose my salvation, or maybe I better keep doing certain things, or I hope I did enough. And listen, your salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. God has given you eternal life. You can know that you're saved, and you can have the assurance of your salvation. So from this moment on, if somebody said to you, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? And you say, yes, because I put my faith in Christ, I know I have eternal life. Remember, we are secure in Christ. John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. May we have the assurance of our salvation as we look to Jesus Christ. Our security is in Christ. There's a second thing, and that is we got to stand for the truth. Two things. Hold to the word and proclaim the message. Hold to the word. Live according to the Bible. That's what should set us apart. That's what should set this church apart. This church is based off the scripture, the word of God, the teaching of the word of God, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's the grow groups, whether it's our Bible Institute, whether it's our Bible studies, whatever it is, we go back to the word of God. That's the authority. We got to hold fast the Bible. The second is we got to proclaim the message. We got to make known the gospel, the clear gospel message. Jesus Christ died and rose again, and by faith in him, we have eternal life. It's that simple. Know the word. Proclaim the message. Live by the scripture. Proclaim the gospel. May we serve our great God and Savior. May we hold fast and stand on the word of God, having the assurance of our salvation, going back to the promises and the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ.